Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Friends, as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion and to be blessed by the music and the word of this day, I ask you to pray with me. Lord, do a good work in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit. May we hear from you in the midst of this sermon, if not through the words that I speak, then in the quietness of our own hearts. Lord, speak to us, and we will listen. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mark Batterson, in a recent book that has just been published that I've been reading called Gradually and Then Suddenly, talks about the overstory of a forest. If you're not familiar with ecology, I had to be reminded of this as well, but as you walk into a forest, there is the canopy of trees that would make the top of that forest. That would be the overstory. And then the understory is all the vegetation underneath. But friends, it is true that the overstory is always impacting what is happening in the understory. And what is true for ecology and forests around the world is true for human beings as well. There is an overstory that God is speaking into our lives and what we are celebrating through this Advent season. And we all are down having our understory impacted, hopefully, by the overstory of the salvation of God. Friends, today we will be talking about, as we've lit the candle of peace, two teenagers whose lives were impacted in the understory by news of a pregnancy. And so their lives were disrupted. And friends, I would admit that I would think they were not experiencing a lot of peace initially. But the God of peace would help them understand that they were a part of a greater story, the overstory. And because they were a part of bringing that salvation to the world through Jesus's birth, they would find their peace. And as we focus on Joseph today, it was through Joseph's obedience and through his confidence to do what God has asked him to do in a very difficult circumstances that the peace that we've come to understand that comes through Jesus Christ can be experienced in our world, and especially can be experienced to us, especially through the sharing of Holy Communion today. We have peace with God. Now, there's not a lot of biblical information about Joseph. He drops out of the narrative early on. So we find his story in Matthew 1 and 2, and also in Luke's gospel in the second chapter, some information about Joseph. But just in case anyone is curious, if you're interested in a little biblical trivia, if anyone should ask you, does Joseph have any speaking words that have been recorded in Scripture? The answer is no. There is no recorded scripture of anything that Joseph says, but there is a lot of activity that Joseph does to help bring in this Christ child. Also, he has four dreams, and we're going to talk about those dreams at the end of this message. When it comes to dreams, few biblical characters have as many dreams as this Joseph. Only the other Joseph in the Old Testament would be one that would rival him with more dreams. Remember the boy with the coat of many colors. In our scripture lesson today, we find Joseph engaged to be married to Mary. And in case you're not up to date with your biblical times, prenuptials, and all the involvement with that, friends, we'll bring you up to speed with that. I'm going to share some of the backstory of the overstory so that we can catch up with what's happening here. Verse 18, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph most likely had an arranged marriage, probably by their fathers, around the age of 12 to 13 years of age. When they were in agreement of how they would have been selected for each other, they would have probably gone to the synagogue. They would have had a betrothal ceremony that made this a formal engagement, and that's called the ketubah ceremony. And in that ceremony, they could be declared as really husband and wife, though they are still have not come together. They are still in a period of engagement. And Joseph has a very important task to do as he prepares for bringing Mary into his home. And that is to go on to his father's house and shed on to that a home for them to live. And when that home was ready, he would come back and the marriage ceremony would occur. That is called the kupa. And that kupa means white canopy. And as I researched, why a white canopy? Why did Jewish couples get married under a white canopy? It is the representation of the being under one roof. They are establishing a new family that will live under one roof together. That is the history and the meaning of the kupa ceremony. But they are between the ketubah, the engagement, the formal engagement, and the actual marriage ceremony under the kupah. Well, Joseph is about ready to get the shock of his life. He was happy. He was building onto his father's house. He was daydreaming about the wedding. Don't all grooms look forward to that extended time together? Both he and Mary looking forward to the day when they will be able to establish a home together. And know that the whole community would gather for an entire week of celebration with food and dancing and wine, a wonderful week-long celebration. They didn't go on honeymoons in those days. They celebrated as a community the bringing together of a new family, and that family would one day have children. And this is the backdrop of our story today. A budding carpenter proudly working on a house when he's about ready to get some news that will shock him. They're anticipating their wedding day, but all is about ready to be disrupted. All through these words, possibly delivered by Mary's father, we do not know for sure, or whether Mary told Joseph herself, "I am pregnant," or "Mary is pregnant." And to imagine, if you will, put yourself into that moment, if you were Joseph, what are the ramifications of what I have just heard? Does our knees begin to buckle? Does our stomach begin to churn? To be feeling like we're smothered by the news we're receiving, finding it hard to even speak what is on our minds. Our minds are so filled and confused with what's going on. What am I hearing? And then also to maybe even feel tears welling up within one's eyes. Joseph possibly turning his back to the one he loves just because he can't look at her in this moment. And after that awkward silence, maybe she leaves the home. Well, what's the condition of Joseph's soul in this moment? He's baffled, he's confused, he's broken. He can't make sense of all this. He is anything but at peace with his world. Have you been the recipient of such news? A phone call that you get, recalling a phone call that I received standing in the coat closet of our home, getting the kids' coats ready to go to school when the phone rings, my cell phone. It's the neighbor next door to my mom and dad in Houston, and Mr. Graham says, "Doug, you need to get here as soon as possible. It is not good. Your father has probably had a serious heart attack." And isn't it amazing when we hear such news like that, that we can remember exactly where we were standing at that time, whether it was the words, I want a divorce, or whether it's the words, your father or your mother has died, or whatever the tragedy would be. I think just put yourself in that, and you can experience what Joseph is going through in this moment. He has a reality. There is no peace in his heart. I was thinking and reflecting upon this, and I was thinking about the great hymn of the church from the Civil War days. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. He was in a predicament, and after a sleepless night, his mind racing like a carousel stuck on high speed, his stomach is upset. He's asking questions like, how could this happen? What is going to happen to Mary? What's going to happen to me? He considers his options. Will he expose her publicly? The scriptures allude to the fact that he is a man of the law. He is righteous. He is a good man. He has a great reputation. And so the easy thing to do would be to simply declare what Deuteronomy 22 says, that if someone becomes pregnant outside of marriage, they have the possibility of being stoned. He could bring that before his community and have the one that he loves be killed. That could not be a good solution. Maybe divorcing her quietly. He could get together two witnesses. He could go back to the synagogue and he could declare that this wedding is off. But by that time, it's possible that the baby bump is already showing. And so he's debating what the reputation will be of Mary. How will her life be destroyed by this, even if she survives this? He is feeling a lot of confusion. But after his consideration, by the grace of God, an angel comes and appears to him in a dream. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And Joseph obediently, it says, does what the angel has requested of him. His attention immediately is taken off of the understory and immediately taking to the overstory of a greater cause, a greater mission, a greater purpose that God has for this child and for he and Mary to raise this child into the world. And I think it's worthy of mentioning that there are two mentions of the Holy Spirit here. Usually we think of Luke's gospel as being filled with lots of references for the Holy Spirit, but here in Matthew chapter 1, we mention the Holy Spirit twice. First to conceive, and then secondly, he gives the promise of what this child is to do. In the Old Testament, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given, friends, for a certain time and a certain purpose, landed on a person, if you will, and so that they had the strength and the wisdom and the ability to do what God had called them to do. That same power and strength has been given to us. But just as Mary was able to say, let it be unto me according to your will, Lord, we see the same response from Joseph here. And I want to give all credit and power to the Holy Spirit, who is allowing them to be strengthened in their weakness to do what God has called them to do. A teenage boy will take Mary as his wife, immediately acting on that which God has called him to do. He will bring her into a home that is not finished yet and bring her into a community where people are snickering and wondering, what is going on here? The wedding is not, it's not time for that. She's showing a bump in her tummy. What's going on? And you know people will talk. Well, friends, it's funny, talking about talking and listening. I think that our phones are listening at all times. This is a little side tour here. I have to tell you, when I was telling someone about the sermon I was going to preach today, I think my phone was listening, because on my Facebook feed, within hours, I received a cartoon. And let me describe it to you. One was a pathway heavily traveled with people, lots of people on the pathway, and underneath it were the words, those who believe in God. And then on the other pathway, just a few people walking it. And it said under that one, those who are obedient to God. Pastor Mark Batterson writes, "We don't need to know more as Christians. We need to do more with what we know." At the end of the day, God's not going to say, "Well thought, Doug, well planned and well intentioned." He is hopefully going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I believe that Joseph is stepping into a predecision that he had already made. He was a righteous man. He wanted to do the will of God. And so as he hits this predicament, he is looking for God to give him direction. I would propose that the circumstances were certainly mind-boggling at best. But when he heard from the angel, he knew what he was called to do. James 4:17 says, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin." And I will share from all my years of following Christ and 35 years of ministry in the local church that when you know what you're supposed to do and you do not do it, there is no peace in your soul. But when you step out in faith and you step out in obedience and confidence to do what God has asked you to do, the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, begins to flood your heart and mind. Not only was Joseph obedient to do what God had asked him to do, he was courageous. The courage was tapped into this young man, even despite all of the raised eyebrows and all the things that people may have said in Nazareth. And who knows what those next 6 months were like, but I can tell you, when it came time for her to give birth to that boy, and he knew he had to go to Bethlehem, and having just been in the Holy Land within the last 6 weeks, I can tell you this, you don't walk through Samaria going through that region. You would have gone over to the Jordan River, you would have gone down the Jordan River, you would have gotten to Jericho, and you would have taken a hard right, and you would have started the ascent towards Jerusalem, Bethlehem being on the way there. And friends, let me tell you this also, we did it in a bus in a few minutes, that 18 miles. But from Jericho, I didn't realize this until I was researching for this sermon, Jericho is the world's lowest city, 846 feet below sea level, and Bethlehem is at 2,549 feet. So that 18-mile ascent up to Bethlehem was an increase of about 3,300 feet in elevation. With a pregnant woman behind him, wow. What a journey. But Joseph's courage reminds me also of a quote from a movie, We Bought a Farm, with actor Matt Damon playing the true character Benjamin Mee, who buys a dilapidated zoo to restore it and reopen it. But in the movie is this quote, "Sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage, 20 seconds of insane courage. And in those 20 seconds of deciding to say yes to a greater story, you can tap into an amazing life, something greater than maybe you would have imagined. It took 20 seconds for David to pick up a stone and sling it towards Goliath and defeat him. It took 20 seconds for Benaiah to chase a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Look it up, 2 Samuel 23:20. Who does that? Who chases a lion into a pit on a snowy day? Benaiah did. And because of his bravery in killing that lion, David made him his bodyguard. It also, in 20 seconds, took Peter that long to decide that he would get out of the boat and walk on water. Friends, I believe that God prepares us for a lifetime, but then there'll be a moment when you have to make a courageous decision for Christ. And as God has prepared you to do that, in that 20 seconds, if you will say yes, God can do something amazing for the overstory of salvation for the world. Joseph stepped into the challenge on the multiple levels and all of the struggles that he would face. And the struggles were not just getting to Bethlehem. We know that while they were in Bethlehem, they began to understand about Herod being threatened and the threat to kill all the babies two and under. And it was in a dream That second dream that Joseph was told, you need to get out of here, you need to go to Egypt. And before the sun would rise, he had packed up his family and he was already getting out of Bethlehem. And friends, we know that the third dream comes along when he is in Egypt with Mary and the child Jesus. And when Herod has died and it was safe to come back to Judea, the angel says it is now time to come back to Judea. And then there is a fourth dream where he must go to Nazareth. Now, I'm just not giving you their itinerary. I'm not just telling you these stops along the way or highlighting the dreams for an insignificant purpose. I'm telling you these things because, friends, he was fulfilling prophecy with every act of obedience. And because he had been faithful and obedient and courageous with the dream one, dream two, dream three, and dream four became a possibility. And Matthew's gospel makes it very clear to us that all of these movements were predicted by the prophets. Jesus is the fulfilled, longed for Messiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. The angel's instructions to flee for safety to Egypt, fulfilling the prophecy found in Matthew 2:15. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. That's from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. I love what's happening here because it's not only Moses who came out of Egypt to bring Israel, the son of God. It is Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus, the Son of God, out of Egypt to bring deliverance to the world. Dreams 3 and 4 we find also, but the fourth one I want to speak to because it's very important. He is told he must return to Nazareth to raise the child. And when we were in the Holy Land, we went to a place called Nazareth Village. There, seeing reenactments of people living and dressed like in biblical times, and the first stop was to look at an olive tree, and on that olive tree there was a shoot, and the man made it very clear that the shoot is very important because that's how olive trees begin to grow and to bring something new. And then he reminded us that Nazareth comes from the word Nazareth. And Netzer means branch. And it ties its way back. And Jerry Giles read the scripture on site that day from Isaiah 11. A shoot will come forth from the stump of Jesse, a branch from its roots, fulfilling the prophecy, the overstory from way back in the prophets all the way forward. All these prophecies fulfilled. Joseph, not only a man of dreams, Joseph is a man of obedience and courage. And through his obedience and courage, he fulfilled the mission of a greater story. True peace, friends, isn't found in your absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God and the obedience to what God has called you to do. And through obedience and through confidence, we tap into the overstory of salvation. So I don't know what you're dealing with today, what God is calling you to do, but can I encourage you with all my heart to be obedient to what God has asked you to do through Holy Scripture? Because the ramifications of that are great. Because there's an overstory that is being written for the redemption of the world. And God has called us all to be a part of that. Thank you, God, for the higher calling. Thank you for the obedience of Joseph and Mary. Thank you for the fulfillment of prophecy. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose birth in this season we celebrate and whose passion and death we acknowledge today as we are nurtured in his grace at this heavenly banquet table. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.